human threat to a community within heaven and earth, through space and time. There is a drop hidden inside the mountain of form. Pick up a lamp and go into the Buddha hall. Take the triple gate and bring it on the lamp. Today I would like to lead commentary on this case. Very interesting commentary. Yunmen says, within heaven and earth, through space and time, there is a jewel hidden in the mountain of form. Now tell me, Ace, Yunmen's meaning in the fishing pole, or is the meaning in the lamp? Fishing pole is a symbol of the teacher, Zen teacher. Particularly in terms of Jinzai Wei, our teacher always become a fisherman or fishing pole and catching a fish through his teaching, his koan teaching, through the koan, through the teaching, through the words. In many ways, teacher of Rinzai, traditional Rinzai school, is more, what to say, active, very active, very active, very positive. So very interesting. But on the other hand, the Soto way is completely opposite. It's a little difficult, a little different, not positive exactly. Like when the Dogen went back from China, stayed in Kyoto and tried to establish monastic life there. But maybe some reason why he went back, to a monastery up there in the mountains. Not escaping from the city or not escaping from computing of the human world at those days, and lots of confusion there. Even in the Buddhist circle atmosphere, Buddhist atmosphere between the Tendai, Mount Hiei, where many monks had to study Buddhism there, particularly the Mount Hiei, the power of the Mount Hiei was very strong because it was connected with government. And also, on the other hand, all monks had to study the Buddhism there. So, if new religion or new type of Buddhism came up, they naturally they tried to oppress, give a pressure there in many ways. So lots of problems, confusions in the, between the denominations, not killing each other, but a very complicated situation there. So Dogen Zenji, also I can imagine that Dogen Zenji also was pressured by the Tendai school and government and the existing of the Buddhist denomination there. So, anyway, Dogen Zenji went to the mountain and studied and the teaching of the person, educated person. Then the other schools over Rinzai, particularly Rinzai teachers, Rinzai schools, was greatly contributed to development of Japanese culture and the peoples and sunrise life and in many ways, and Rinzai teachers were contributed to development and of Japanese culture and helping the human life. So that's why the in the history, this is really true that Rinzai is really positive way to the society, to the human life. So even the a way of teaching is really positive. And the teacher's activity is pretty positive. So it's very attractive, very attractive. So that's why this book says immense meaning in the fishing pole. Fishing pole. Anyway, he becomes usually fishing pole and the fisherman, and sometimes sparks and struck that they found the stones like this. Very positive, very energetic. That's why it says, now tell me is the human's meaning in the fishing pole, that jewel hidden in the human life. In other words, Buddha nature in healing in all sentient beings. But that means what do you mean by this? That main point is you mean at the end of fishing pole or in the lamp. Lamp means lamp and altar, flower, trees, birds, were all sentient beings. Fishing pole, that means the key point of this immense teaching is in the fishing pole means he himself, human himself. He is talking about human himself, human itself, or he is talking about his object or not. So this is the question. That's why he says, now tell me, is your man's meaning in the fishing pole or is the meaning in the lamp? These lines are paraphrased from a treatise of Shen Chao, master of the teachings, called Dual Treasury. The man brought them up to teach his community. In the time of the latter, Jin Shen Chao was in the Garden of Freedom, composing his treatise. When he was copying the old Vimalakirti scripture, he realized that Chuang Tzu and Lao Tzu had still not exhausted the marvel. Probably this Chen Chao had studied a lot about the teaching of Chuang Tzu or Lao Tzu, which were very traditional Chinese and the philosophy or thoughts. So probably he really had believed these teachings, but after reading the Vimalakirti Nirdesha he realized they had still not exhausted the model. There's something missing there. So Chao then paid obeisance to Kumara Jiva as his teacher. Kumara Jiva was one of the famous translator of Buddhist scriptures of those days. Mahajiva, as his teacher, he also called on the Bodhisattva Buddhabhatra. He is also one of the great translators of Buddhist scriptures. At the Thai Kopin Temple, who had transmitted the mind sea from the 27th patriarch Prajnatara in India. Chao entered deeply into the inner sanctum. So through the Buddhist scriptures, through the teaching of the Buddha Bhatra and the Kumara Jiva, he was really deeply impressed, moved by those teachings. So that's why it says he entered deeply into inner sanctum, Buddha nature. He really touched the Buddha nature. One day Chao ran into trouble. I don't know what kind of trouble he got. Anyway, one day Chao ran into trouble when he was about to be executed. He was executed. I don't know what kind of a trouble. He asked for 7 days reprieve, during which time he composed the treatise Dual Treasury. It is said like this. So for 7 days, he really concentrated on writing this scripture. You men quote one of the passages one of the teachings of this dual treasuries composed by Shing Chao, and explain it because it is very important in the Buddhist teaching. So you men cited four phrases from that treatise to teach his community. The main idea is, how can you take a priceless jewel and conceal it in the heaps and elements? Our main idea is, how can you take a priceless jewel, Buddha nature? This is priceless. Buddha nature is not something you can measure by a common sense of value. Okay? So, complete valueless value, beyond human speculation, human judgment, human evaluations. So, how can you take a priceless jewel and conceal it in the heaps and elements? In the heaps means phenomenal world. In the heaps in everyday life. And elements, strictly speaking, the truth. So how can you conceal it? If you show it too much, it's nothing but it's nothing but the arrogance. So in a sense, you have to show it with modesties and humbleness and for gentry, it's
So how can you consider it in the here? So if you find the Buddha nature in the everyday life, you have to show it. If you become proud of yourself as one of musicians and great musicians, you have to find, you have to show great musician in your everyday life, but without stinkiness, without arrogance, anyway. Otherwise, the great musician's life doesn't work in everyday life. So how can you consider it? But on the other hand, it doesn't mean you should be always withdrawal and hesitating to do something. So you have to do it because that your origin, what under all circumstances we are in your Buddha nature, good. So wherever you may go, a great musician is great musician. So why don't you take yourself with great confidence? But on the other hand, it is not, you know, the show of anyway. It is not the manifestation of arrogance. So how can you take this precious value and also consider? In other words, how can you manifest? How can you make it alive in everyday life? That is the main point, okay? Main point of this case. That's why it says, the main idea is how can you take a priceless jewel and conceal it in the heaps and the elements? The words spoken in the treaties are all in accord with the talk of our school. Have you not seen how Jin Cheng asked Cao Shan, how is it? When in the principle of pure emptiness, ultimately there is nobody. How is it when in the principle of pure emptiness, ultimately there is nobody? Nobody means so there is no substantiality. In the pure sense, in the ultimate principle of existence, there is no substance. So that's why the all sentient beings can communicate mutually and develop the nature and the culture and they say helping each other. That is really a meaning of no bodies, no substance. So I understand it. How is it when we understand this one? Okay. Now that is the question. How is it when in the principle of pure emptiness, ultimately, there is no bodies? Cao Shan says, the principle being like this, what about phenomena? The principle we understand. We understand anyway, ultimate principle of being is just like that. Yes, we understand it. But how about phenomena? Phenomenal world, how about human world? It's pretty hard to believe this one. All sentient beings are complete beautiful. And enough to support each other, develop each other, helping each other. But it's pretty hard to believe that. That's why you say, how about phenomena? And Jin said, as is principle, so are phenomena. If the principle is like that, also phenomena is just like principles. So not difference between. So, the Shan said, you can fool me, one person, but what can you do about the eyes of all the sages? Don't fool me, anyway. I am fool guy. So if you take me, bring up a Buddha's teaching, you can fool me, but very easily, one person. But don't How can you fool all sentient beings? How can you fool all Buddha's eyes? Means, your the explanation, the principle, as its principle, so a phenomena. Well, you can fool me by this, but how can you fool? How can you cheat in the eyes of sages? I can believe if you say so, but I don't know if that is your teaching is exactly universal. Okay, universal. That's why you said, the sun said, you can fool me, one person, but what can you do about the eyes of all the sages? James said, without the eyes of all the sages, how could you know it is not so? So, but Shan said, you can fool me, one person, but what can you do about the eyes of all the sages? Well, already he knows about the eyes of all sages. So, and nevertheless, he understands the eyes of all sages, but he don't know exactly. He has never experienced eyes of all sages. But if he said like this, about the eyes of the sages. In other words, we don't experience Buddha nature. But I can say Buddha nature. And then he said, I can say Buddha nature, but I have never experienced the Buddha nature. So that's why without the Buddha nature, how can you know whether the phenomenon is the Buddha nature, or phenomena is Buddha nature exactly as well as principle? How do you know that? In other words, without experience of the enlightenment, how do you know the truth is one? So he says, without the eyes of all the sages, how could you know it is not so? And then the Shan said, officially now, even the needle is admit privately, even the cart and horse can pass. Officially means theoretically, or intellectually, or in terms of wisdom. Officially, not even the needle is admit. But this is very strict. The truth is one is completely strict. No argument. Even though you don't believe, even though you believe, whatever you say, it doesn't hit the mark. Because truth is one exactly. This one is absolute one. Not one opposed to two, anyway, one, two, three, four. The absolutely one. So absolutely one is no gap between phenomena and truth, you and I, cup and me, no gap between. This is a one, okay? So officially, not if the middle is admit, but our consciousness always creates a space, gap between, you know, truth and I, because we are always dichotomizing the world between the subject and object. So, but according to the oneness of the truth, there is no gap, no space at all. If the needle is admitted, it's not admitted. So it's very, so completely beyond your speculation. So all you have to do is just think Gesho is exactly the truth itself. That is called intimacy form. Form is intimacy, exactly. Form is intimacy. This is a little gap there. The form is exactly. Form is emptiness. Emptiness is emptiness. Form is emptiness. It is emptiness. A completely no gap between. But if you say oneness in a word, you create the space through which a needle can fall into the ground. A cold wind blows in through that. That is the economy, that is the activity of human consciousness. So officially, not even the needle is admitted, but privately, even the cold cart and horse can pass. But in the human life, in the everyday life, when you do gassho, gassho is a cart, and when you do velen, this is a horse, and when you walk, wash your face in the morning, this is a cart, this is a horse, cows, many phases of human life, and also any kind of thing coming, come in and out. This is every phases of human life. So lots of space, big space. But each phase, in each phase of the life, watching a phase, there is completely no space. Even for a needle. So when you wash your face, just wash your face. But this wash your face is exactly the same as changing and walking meditations and having a breakfast, exactly the same. So cart and horse can pass through, in and out, constantly. So there is a contradiction. In terms of the truth, there is no space. So you need a really enormous intention. By what? Your attention the other day, Dr. Smith mentioned attention and intention. In the relation with the religious life, spiritual life, attention is your consciousness. Must be attentive to each phase of human life. Gassho, watching a face, stand at the offer the incense, cleaning the altars, whatever you do, you must be attentive to. Your consciousness must be attentive to each phase of human life with kindness, in compassion. Then, on the other hand, you need enormous intention. Means spirit and hope. Looking at the future. Looking at the Buddha nature. Complete oneness of the truth. Aiming at. Anyway, thinking, being mindful of it without forgetting it every day. This is a practice of mindfulness. Every day, you have to do it, under all circumstances, anyway. And we try to move even the worst step toward that. And we have to practice it, even a little bit. So that is, anyway, the idea of intention and attention, Dr. Smith mentioned. According to my term, anyway, your spirit, your heart must be big, magnanimous. That is intention. Otherwise, you cannot get the enormous intentions, wonderful intentions. You cannot focus on the practice, zazen. So you cannot take care of your life without intentions. So you need your spirit, your heart, must be magnanimous. At that time, your intention really works and support your everyday life. Covered with egos, but egos drops off naturally if you do it. So this is after practice. So every day you must be attentive to small things which occur in everyday life. That is the reason you always mention that practice. So here it is expressed in a different way. Officially, not even the needle is admitted. Privately, even the cart and the horse can practice. That's why we can touch, we can be with. Even though you don't know the meaning of Buddha natures, please do it. Then you can know it. Even though your consciousness cannot know, your whole body and mind can know. So that's why we can say so. We can say Buddha natures in many ways. With the body, with the mind, with the words, with the silence. That is why it was said, within heaven and earth, in space and time, there is a dwell, hidden in the mountain of form. Okay? Mountain of form is the human body and mind. The great meaning of this is to show that everyone is fully endowed. Excuse me. Each individual is perfectly complete, without exceptions, perfect, complete, no excuse. Human that brought up to show his community, it is totally obvious, this is very clear, totally obvious. Everyone, without exception, all sentient beings, without exception, it is very obvious. He could go on and add interpretations for you like a lecturer. You can't explain it. But he is still compassionate. He's a very kind person. That's why he says, but he is compassionate and adds a footnote for you, saying, pick up a lamp and go into the Buddha hall. Bring the triple gate. On the lamp, triple gate means the one of the entrance and building of the entrance of the monastery, one of the building of seven the architectural complex in the monastery. That is the entrance. That is the three gates. The entrance is divided into three. So we say Sammon means gate, and Sammon means three gates. So pick up a lamp and go into the Buddha hall, bring the triple gate on the lamp. This is the compassionate explanation for you. Not explaining the Buddha nature intellectually itself, theoretically. But because nothing to say. So, but he is compassionate, that's why he says, pick up a lamp and go into the Buddha hall. Bring triple gate on the lamp. This is a very important, that's why we have to think about this. We have to understand this one. Now tell me, when you men speak this way, what is this meaning? Have you not seen how an ancient said, the true nature of ignorance is identical to Buddha's word. The empty body of illusion is identical to the body of reality. It is also said, see the Buddha mind right in the ordinary mind. But this is very common, the idea we of the faith, if you read Buddha's scriptures. Nirvana is illusion. Delusion is enlightenment. The mountain of form is the four gross elements and the five heaps, means five gross elements means the philosophical point of view, human life is constructed. So it can be constructed by four elements, gross elements, and human body is five apes. Human existence, the human existence of body is consisting of five heaps, five candles. So that means our body and mind, and or structure of the human world. So the mounting of a form is the four gross elements and five heaps, which can constitute human life. So reason, there is a jewel hidden in the mounting of form. That is why it is said, all Buddhas are in the mind. Deluded people go seeking outside. Though within, they're in bosom. Though within, they in bosom a priceless jewel, they do not know it, and let it rest there all their lives. It is also said, the Buddha nature clearly manifests, but the sentient beings dwelling in form hardly see it. If one realizes this, that sentient beings have no self, how does his own face differ from the Buddha's face? Means that we are Buddha nature. The Buddha nature is delusion, phenomena is a principle, ultimate principle. But it is a truth, and people can understand, but actually they don't know how to make it alive. So that's why he says, because people are seeking that truth outwardly, out of the self. So that's why you may have to mention again mounting of form. The truth is hidden in the mountains of form, human body and human life. So Buddha nature, it is also said, the Buddha nature clearly manifests, but sentient being dwelling in form hardly said. It's very hard, of course. It seems to us that Buddha nature or truth as one is something far from us. No matter how long we say so, we can think it, we can believe it, but actually it's still something abstract for us. It's pretty hard to know. And sometimes it is complete, we think, we feel that such ideas is completely far from us. If one realizes that sentient beings have no self, how does his own face differ from Buddha's face? That's why, what is the difference point? Buddha is between the Buddhas and the us. If we are Buddha, what's the difference between? Because we consciously or unconsciously, Buddha's face, Buddha's truth as one is far from us. We don't feel the truth as the one in our life. It is original mind, the face born of womb. The rock of ages may be moved, but here there is no change. But anyway, Buddha's face, the mind is original mind, means Buddha's face. Buddha's face is a face. Before, since the before the since the prior to the born, the birth of the human world. Anyway, Buddha's face is Buddha's face. Buddha is Buddha. Whatever happens, even the nuclear weapon destroys the human world, Buddha's face is Buddha's face. Never change. So very naturally, next moment, something happens. Next moment, that which has happened destroyed, will be destroyed. But next moment, something will happen again. So, some people acknowledge this radiant shining spirituality as the jewels. It's something there, so we know that. Something there. If you get into the witness, it's something wonderful, but we don't know what it is. That's what we really acknowledge, we appreciate that radiant shining spirituality. In hearing, in the witness, nature, human beings, or whatever, wherever you may go. Some people acknowledge that they cannot make use of it. They cannot make use of it. Always they go to the witness and they acknowledge, but they don't know how to make use of it. So they naturally, they use the nature's witness in terms of human egoism. So finally we destroy nature. So they cannot make use of it and they do not realize its wondrousness. They don't know exactly. They don't realize how wondrous it is through their heart. Therefore, they cannot set it in motion. They much less, they don't know how to set it in motion. Much less, they don't know how to bring it out in actions. They don't know. And Asian said, reaching an impasse, then change. Having changed, then you can pass through. Maybe this is a human suffering. Life is characterized by suffering. Well, reaching the impasse. Well, anyway, we have to, more or less, we come to reach a kind of impasse, dead end. Then change. You can see something change. Having a change, then you can pass through. A transformation, kind of transformation. You have to reach impasse in the then. Pain and suffering, hatred, the burning of anger, right in the middle of. So you have to reach. You have to face this kind of impasse, very confused. You don't know what to do. Then you can change. Then something changeable can be found. Maybe not, but it may be. Then when you have changed, then you can pass through. The change itself is great entrance, great door. Through what you can pass through. So just a door. You don't know what make it change. The moment when you change, that becomes great door. So you can go through next door, next room. But a way back, reaching the impasse, it's pretty hard. Pretty hard to find the door to get into the next. Then pick up a lamp and head into the Buddha hall. If it is a matter of ordinary sense, this can be fathomed. Yes, you can understand. You can be fathomed. in common sense. You know, bring the lamp and go into the Buddha hall. And put the lamp in the Buddha hall. It is understandable. But Yunmen said next, bring the triple gate on the lamp. This is a little bit of complete your speculation. So Yunmen has broken up emotional discrimination, intellectual ideas, gain, loss, affirmation, and negation. All I want for you. Concrete, this is the erotical. It stands the erotical explanation. But the erotical explanation is not always erotical or useless. It's pretty useless. It's pretty useful because you can see something in uselessness. Because that is a human life. You can behave, you can act always in a useful way. Your life is not always embraced or expressed in useful ways. You have a lot of useless ways. So, that's why the Yunmen immediately show useful aspect and common aspect of human life in common sense. Sometimes he completely shows useless aspect of human life. Otherwise, it's very difficult to know the truth as one. So, completely blow your mind. It's that explanation, completely broken, break up your thinking. What does it mean? We often evaluate. Thinking, evaluate, and then next, you are stumbled over by afflictive preferences. So you hate it, you love it, you like it. So, within that speculations, human speculation, there is no way to find the truth as one. That's why we have to, anyway, pass through this one. We have to break up this wall. So that is expert. How can you do it? That is immediately shown in the erotical way of explanation. That is bring the triple gate on the lamp. Yunmen has broken up emotional discrimination, intellectual ideas, gain, loss, affirmation, and negation. All at once, please. That's why Dhabi is pretty good. Anyway, return to source, return to home. Home is complete truth as one, without anyway, muddy and filthy situation of emotional discrimination, intellectual, of the intellectual ideas, gains, loss, affirmation, negations, pros and cons, many things there. You have to go through this one, and then you have to return to the source. And then you can sit in peace. This is certain. Sitting in peace and harmony is exactly to know, to realize Buddha nature. So, Sudo has said, I like the freshly established devices of Shaoyang, Yunmen. So, Sudo really liked his explanation, his expressions, because it is very fresh. So, he said, I like freshly established devices of Yunmen all his life. He pulled out nails and drew out pegs for others. Immediately, you have to pull-outs, you know, pull-outs of pads and nails. That's why you have to, you yourself, do it in Zazen. Anyway, pick up a nail, drill out anyway, peg right in the middle of Zazen. You can do it. But usually we don't do it because it's ridiculous. You will often handle your Zazen in terms of emotional discrimination, intellectual ideas, gain and loss, pros and cons, and then deal with Zazen. So that means that you always strike the nails into more force into your life. Instead of pulling out the nails, draw out in any way a pet. Because it's fun. That's why during Zazen you are thinking in order to spend the wasting time without doing anything. Just the sitting is really wasting, you feel so. So very natural, most of people thinking during Zazen. That is, when you do it, when you do such Zazen, not how long you do Zazen, you don't understand it. That's why Shikantara is simple, but it's very, very important Zazen. Because you have to really have a full commitment to fulfill that simple Zazen. Return home and sit in peace. What do you mean? This is a big goal for you. So you have to reach an impulse. You have to reach impulse and change. Then change. Then having the change, then you can pass through. For this, you have to struggle. You have to suffer a lot in Zazen. He also says, I don't know how many sit on the chair of rank, but the sharp sword cutting away causes others' admiration. His pseudo also said, I don't know how many sit on the chair of rank, means the admiring, the praising that you men's way of life, you men's teaching. He really outplays. That's why he don't know, Sudo doesn't know how many people sit on the chair of this kind of rank, so-called Zen teacher, like a Yunmei. He doesn't know how many people they are. And also this person, this the chair of the chair of the rank, so-called Zen teacher, named Yunmen, has really sharp sword cutting away, causes others admiration. Then the people are really like this way. And Yunmen himself, that they commands, anyway, great respect from others. But he said, pick up a lamp and go into the Buddha hall. This one place has already cut off completely. Anyway, because you don't understand it. If you think it, it's ridiculous. So, it means immediately he cut off the completely emotional, intellectual discrimination. Pros and cons, success and failure. And then you can really sit in right in the moment. So called Shikantara. But while you are carried away, even slightly by emotional, intellectual discrimination, pros and cons, your Zazen is not peace. Your mood, you are agitated. Your Zazen is agitated. Very natural. That's why if you are induced to sleep very naturally, and you induce it in the very natural hatred, anger, thinking, you can bring the thinking into the thing. Well, anyway, you have to cut off. But it's a Zazen. It's Zazen is really great, unique opportunity, unique peg to hand entering into universe. Exactly. But your senses doesn't know. But without this, there is no way to. So, take up a lamp, go into the Buddha hall. This one phase has already cut off completely, yet bring the triple gate on the lamp. If you discuss this matter, it is like a spark struck from stone, like the flash of a lightning bolt. You have to do something right now, just like a spark. You cannot do, you cannot, there is no space to think it. You have to do it, just like a lightning bolt. Lightning bolts still create a time, process, moment, but something more than that. Otherwise, you cannot show, you cannot manifest truth as oneness. No. But as examples, some thundering bolt, lightning bolt, is exactly precursor to the manifestation of the truth as one, or spark, struck from stone. That's why he says, how can the young man said, if you would attain, just seek a way of entry. Buddha's numerous, numerous atoms are under your feet. The three treasuries of the holy teachings are on your tongues. You know, the young man said, if you want to attain, if you want to attain this, the truth as the one, anyway, just seek a way of entry. Anyway, entry, that's enough. That's enough. But we are really curious of poking our head into it after entry, after finding a door, and standing and go through, that's enough. But we are still curious of what's in it. But no way to know. So all we have to do is just to find the door to get into. Then in it, that's enough. Then you are, your life is completely drawn in by huge magnet. The huge energies of magnet. You are sucked in. That's why Yimmen said, if you would attain, just seek a way of entry. Then there are Buddha's numerous as atoms. Where? Right under your feet. Right under your feet doesn't mean the time you have to look at your under your feet. No. Right, just in a moment. What you do, exactly there. No space. No space of time. No moment you have to look at. So exactly there. So Buddha, the three treasuries of the holy teaching are on your tongues. But this is not as good as being enlightened. But still, this is an explanation. So it is not as good as being enlightened. Monks do not think. Monks do not think falsely. Sky is sky. Earth is earth. Mountains are mountains. Rivers are rivers. Monks are monks. Lay people are lay people. Exactly. Gacchen is gacchen. And then numerous, there are Buddhas numerous as atoms, as sand of Ganges River. Then we create the time process and try to look at it. No. So, Gesho is just Gesho. Then, there it is. Then the vastness of existence is spread, manifested, represented right in front of you, right under your feet. So, all you have to do is, and all you have to know is the sky, Gesho is just Gesho. Dogen Zen says, when one is manifested, the other side is darkness. When you Gesho, it's manifested. The other side is in darkness. Nothing to see. So-called Buddhas, patriarchs, truth as one. Buddhas, numerous as atoms, exist under my feet. I'm right under the feet of doing Gesho. Or Zazen. That is still human speculation. So, that's why this is not as good as being enlightenment, because you have to return to the thought. The exact result means when you do Gesho. Gesho is Gesho, that's enough. So sky is sky, earth is earth, mountains are mountains, rivers are rivers, months are months, lay people are lay people. After long pause, he said, bring me the immovable mountain before you. Then a monk, in other words, that day, after long pause, the man said, bring me the immovable mountains before you. Immovable mountain means there is no sense of comparison with other beings. Mountains, exactly mountains, occupying the whole universe. There is nothing to compare. At that time, that mountain becomes immovable. What you're doing is exactly rooted on the earth. Exactly. There is nothing to compare. At that time, each step of a walking meditation is exactly feeling very stable, very comfortable. But if you see something, compare. I am walking. At that time, still thinking come up, it's not stable. Really stable, as a really stable sense comes up, oneness with universe. In each moment, each step of a walking meditation. So, break me the immovable mountain before you means break me immovable chin before me, before you. A break immovable Gesho. Before you, bring immovable, keep driving, eating meals, and studying, the painting, the playing music, and you will bring immovable. What do you mean this? Then a monk came forth and asked, how is it when the student sees that mountains are mountains, are rivers are rivers, means how is it which I bring the immovable mountains? How is it when I bring the immovable Gesho, immovable Zazen and Qingyin? How is it? What is this? The man drew a line with his hand and said, why is the triple gate going from here? Because still we have to say a most important point where there is no space. Exactly one. go beyond intellectual, emotional discrimination, personal consciousness, but because we have all this personal consciousness and figures. Emotional, intellectual discrimination, all this going there. So even though you say, what is this? When I bring my Gashya, immovable Gashya, right here, right now, this says, I am good. That is already nothing but the thinking. That's the next, you may have to say, that bring the triple weight on the map. Means complete, still you have to go beyond that intellectual understanding, intellectual discrimination, emotional discrimination there. That's what he has to say. That's why he says, why is the triple gate going from here? He feared you would die, so he said, he feared, you may fear you would die means completely confused. What do you mean? Why he has to say so? Why we have to destroy, we have to break up that emotional, intellectual discrimination. Without this, we cannot live in this world. Why we have to break up this one? If you break up, you will die. So, then actually, you may fear you would die. So, compassionately, he said, well, you know, it is superb flavor of ghee. If you don't know, instead, it becomes poison. The mountains of mountains, exactly that simple. But if you don't know, if you misuse it, it becomes poison. But if you use in proper way, it becomes superb flavor of ghee. Fantastic. You can use your body and mind for all such things. But if you misuse it, completely confused. You don't know. So that's why it is a simple. It is a simple. Nothing is nothing. That is the truth. So truth to this is just to this. I told this to the student in San Francisco Zen Center, who had a little confused because reasons. And then I mentioned finally the truth to live is just to live. He said, no, truth to live is to save all sentient beings, to save people. Well, of course, it's not wrong, but still, it's delusion. Truth to live is just to live. It's very simple. Otherwise, how can you save? You have to bring the immovable living day by day right here. Then you can think. We don't know which comes first. Practically at the same time. To save all sentient, we don't know how to save all sentient. But the important point is, if you want to save all sentient beings, bring immovable Gashya just right now. That's enough. Then you can get into a way of entry, door. That's it. After that, you don't need the effort. The people anywhere, Buddhas, takes you to the vastness of existence constantly. This is why it is said, when completely thoroughly understood, there is nothing to understand. The most abstruse profundity of the mystery is still to be scorned. This is why it is said, when completely thoroughly understood, there is nothing to understand. If you understand something thoroughly, completely, there's nothing to understand. Because all you have to do is prostrate, bring immovable gassho right here, that's it. So mountains are mountains, rivers, rivers. Fire is fire. And the most as to the, when the complete is thoroughly understood, there is nothing to understand, the most abstruse profoundity of the mystery is still to be scorned. Means, even though you say something about abstruse profoundity, in other words, the truth as one, exactly. And then you say it's mystery. Yes, it's a mystery, but the mystery is still something going according to intellectual, emotional discrimination. You have to go beyond the mystery anyway, because everything is very clear, existing, when you bring the immovable gassho right here, it's clear. Gassho is gassho. And also, gassho brings you, your life, takes your life, into vastness of existence, naturally. But we don't know that we our intellectual sense, emotional discrimination cannot reach it. That's why we say it's mystery. But it's not mystery. It's very clear. But most of the people are really staying just in the realm of mystery. That's it. They don't know how to go beyond the mystery. Because people are very interested in the mystery. Because life is mystery, if you try to understand it. But our life is not mystery. It's very clear. But if you know that life is mystery, you have to go beyond mystery. Otherwise, your life doesn't work. So, that's why it says, the most abstruse profundity of the mystery is still to be scorned. So though again brought it up and said, within heaven and earth, through space and time, their end is a jewel. It lies hidden in the mountain of form. It is hung on the wall. For 9 years Bodhidharma didn't dare to look at it straight on. If any practical law of the monk wants to see it now, I will hit him right on the spine with my staff. See how these self-possessed teachers of our school never use any actual doctrine to tie people up. The Buddhism is not something that they are certain dogmatic teaching to tie the people up anyway. Spiritually or philosophically, no, it's not real goal of the teachings. You have to be free from. That is purpose of the teaching anyway. So, see how these self-rest teachers of our school never use any actual doctrine to tie people up. Sudo Sancha said, though you try to enmesh him in trap, he doesn't consent to stay. Though you call after him, he doesn't turn his head. Even though he is like this, still he is a secret, totals. Dragging his tail. Though you call after him, he doesn't turn his head. Usually we turn our head into. If the people say, you are a great teacher, then the teacher turns his head into. And then people are put him on a pedestal and respect, thinking just like a deities. The teacher really proud of himself, consciously or unconsciously. But it's nothing but the crazy. It's kind of, it is just enthusiasm, but it makes the people crazy sometimes. So people call you very often, but never turn. All you have to do is just move ahead. That's pretty hard practice, but this is really true. So that why here says, though you try to enmesh him in the truck, all these people or you yourself enmesh you yourself in the truck. So-called great, so-called good, so-called bad, so-called success and failure, all this. So every time you are turned, your head, and this pond. So even though he is like this, still he is a sacred tortoise dragging his tail. Means, even though you say, I am great, or even though you say, that teacher is really great, just like a god. But it is nothing but the tortoise, sacred tortoise, dragging its own tail. You poke it, you get into the Buddha's house, and then you believe, I get the house, Buddha's house, but your tail is out of the house. Your head is getting in, but your tail is out. But we don't know this one. If the people are always talking about you, if talking about you, particularly something good, you really feel, I got it. But I don't think so. Your tail is still out. So what is a secret? It is a secret because even the tail is a part of the secret body. But it's still out. Means still you are completely sacred tail tied you up exactly. You are tied up with a sacred tail. But you have to go beyond that sacred tail because your whole body is sacred. If so, your whole body must work together without its separation. When you get into Buddha's world, your whole body must work together there. Even the family is out of that sacred world, you are stuck. You are tied up with. So that's why real spiritual life is really simple, simplest way. You have to handle gestural, mountains. But it's pretty hard because if you misuse it, it becomes poison. But if you use it in an appropriate way, it's great. It's great. So that point is a little bit difficult for us to understand because everyday life, we don't live in that way. That's why we have to practice like this. We have the ancestors, Buddha has to say like this. Yeah, they have to say like a human man. Actually, it's not necessary to say because you are you. Flow is force. But still, there is a question. If you don't practice it, it doesn't manifest within the dimension. You are Buddha nature. Buddha nature is quite up at the present in you. But if you don't practice it, it doesn't manifest itself. Because if you don't do it, well, it's really just to misuse it. You don't use completely fully.